Heroes Not Included is a serialized story podcast featuring actual play of Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition from Wizards of the Coast. Wizards of the Coast own their respective trademarks, copyrights, and related materials. A special thanks to all the great people at Wizards of the Coast for all their hard work creating wonderful games for us to play.
Previously on Heroes Not Included.
And she decided to come back. And then I went shopping.
We decided to look for the stone.
Oh, right, we did.
So
go.
We went to the mausoleum a day late and a level short.
Yeah, I remember there was an octopus kind of mural on the ground, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But there was nothing of interest in there. Yeah, there was nothing in there. And then we left out of there. And am I wrong in thinking that there was some people waiting for us outside?
There were 4 gray dwarves. We ended right with, "Stop! Give us the Stone of Golar!" And that's where we ended.
I see.
Heroes Not Included.
All right. I'm very distracted by having lost all of my
things. Yeah, no, that's very distracting.
Yes.
So yes, as you climb the steps up out of the mausoleum, you see 4 gray dwarves standing there. And one of them points at you and says, "Give us the Stone of Golar." And they have their weapons drawn.
So I have a toe. Mm-hmm. In my hand, and I'm gonna say, rolling a persuasion.
Okay.
"Please don't hurt us! We just, here, don't hurt us! This is the stone!" And I'm gonna give them this toe and try and persuade them.
Wow, alright, right out of the gate, let's see it.
Okay.
Here we go. You have inspiration.
I have lucky.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're lucky.
I'm
too.
Lucky. Perfect.
Yeah,
that's
you
a
are.
23. Oh.
23.
Or wait, sorry, 25.
Oh, no big deal.
Went from rolling a nat 1 to a nat 20 on that roll. Just for the mic, because the mic can't see.
Good old halfling.
Yep.
It's a good way to start off in a dynamic fashion.
Yep. Mm-hmm. In a dynamic fashion. And I'm going to sort of, like, grovel and hold it up and, like...
One of them walks forward and grabs the toe bone out of your hand and looks at it. "Well, all right. Aha! Come on, boys! Screw Xanathar! We're gonna be rich!"
"Oh no, but we really needed that. Shame."
And they start tromping away.
"What am I going to tell my compatriots in the city watch?"
Oh. And I'm gonna say, "Thank you, thank you, thank you!" And I'm like sobbing and like, "Oh, you spared us! Oh my god.
All is lost."
And they go marching past the graves and out of sight.
Cool. That was easy.
That was unbelievably
wow.
easy.
Did you just convince
you
them that
yeah.
toe bone is Stone of Gold?
It looks kind of stony. Okay, so what are we going to do? Where's
good
this
thing.
Stone?
Well, do you remember what you found in the mausoleum?
Nothing.
It's not true. You did find one thing, but you didn't find any secret doors or anything of interest.
Only to find a key.
There you go.
To what? Who's got the key?
I probably have the key.
I do not have the key.
Okay.
Don't trust
I'm
me.
I'm the responsible
I
one.
I certainly don't have the key.
Let's look at this key.
I pull it out of my pocket.
It is a shiny steel key.
Can I inspect it for markings of maybe where it came from? Like if it has an emblem on it or like a something?
It looks finely made. But it doesn't look especially ornate or unique in any way.
Is there anything around here, like, really close by that is locked?
Oh, a lot of mausoleums and other such things are locked.
Yeah, but is there another one that's, like, related to this one? Like, do they have a second backup mausoleum for when they run out of room in the first mausoleum?
You doubt it.
Oh.
I kind of want to... I mean, I don't want to physically go back there, but I'm wondering if we should go back to Grenda's?
I will take an investigation check. I will take an insight check.
That's better.
Yeah, I'll take that insight.
Yeah.
I'll take investigation.
8.
10.
14 and 15.
Pendy, you think of the Guild Hall, the Splendid Order of Armorers, Locksmiths, and Finesmiths in the Dock Ward as possibly a good place to take the key to find out maybe who made it.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
Thanks. The only thought that comes to your mind, but might also be a good option, is the Metal House of Wonders.
Mm. Pandy's smarter than me. Let's go to the locksmith place.
Sounds reasonable.
Sounds good to me.
I'm brilliant.
True.
Everybody give me a perception check.
And hope that Pandy doesn't make it.
20.
Three.
15.
17.
Brick, out of the corner of your eye, you see one of those floating balls with eyeballs dart out of sight.
Get down. What? I try and hunch over and try and get you guys to crap.
I look around.
I saw one of those floating watches.
I immediately fall flat on my face.
Ka-dum.
But I'm wearing like so many clothes. I can't put my arms down and I just sort of roll onto my face. And I'm just like, ah.
I whip up my wand and I go, where?
Oh, over there.
Bam!
What?
We are not fighting any more of those things.
No.
I keep walking.
Oh, yeah, right.
And
sorry,
I pick up
that.
Eddie by the back of all the clothing and just kind of carry her for a while until she decides that she wants to put her feet down.
Yeah,
like a
my
child.
Legs start kicking a little bit.
I start walking backwards, keeping an eye on it.
Mm-hmm. Just saying, I could burn it.
Because you're kind of walking backwards, trying to uh-huh. keep an eye on where it darted to, you do see an eye stalk kind of come out around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Briefly.
Do you point at it?
Nope. I just kind of shudder and turn the other way.
We're literally
decided
being
I didn't
want to
see after all.
Nope.
Oh.
What? Come on.
Amy thinks that's funny. Eddie does not think that's funny.
Are you sure? Because I'm pretty certain Eddie would find that funny.
Nothing having to do with these little things
oh,
is
yeah.
funny to me.
Also,
anymore.
Just died recently. Probably sense of humor still kind of
warming up.
Oh, yeah. I'm right on track. I just told someone that the Stone of Golar was a toe. I think that my
yeah.
sense of humor is intact. Totally intact.
No!
I'm sorry. So, Pandy, I'm gonna walk up to you and I sort of tug at her and whisper, but I try and look very cash because I know we're being followed. What kind of illusions can you make?
All manner of them.
Shh. All manner of them.
Would it be possible for you to make a very complicated illusion?
Yes.
Of four people walking in the opposite direction that we're walking.
Yeah, I could probably do that. Give it a try. Never done that before. I mean, it seems a bit weird.
We're being followed. Mm-hmm. They need to get off of our scent.
I'm very good at making pretty plants and flowers. Do you think I'd get distracted by a bush?
No.
Colorful.
I don't think so.
So I'm gonna try to work with Eddie's idea here.
Okay.
Again, since I don't have access to the book, if you don't mind pulling up Silent Image for me.
Oh, Silent Image. Okay, sure. So you can create the image of an object, a creature, or some other visible phenomenon that is no larger than 15-foot cube.
Could we do four creatures?
Well, if it's within the bounds of the area of effect, then an image could be of four people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At 15 feet, you might be able to pull that off.
And if I concentrate on it, here's the thing. If it gets too far away, it'll dissipate. So it has to be within about 60 feet of me. So I could make them turn off onto a branching path instead of go the opposite way. And then hopefully they would think that maybe the illusions disappeared.
I think that would be great.
Alright, I'm going to try that.
Alright.
But first we should kind of like go to a place where we feel like we're hidden. And then like down an alleyway and then hide behind some barrels. And then you can have us walk out the alleyway and go somewhere or something.
Yeah, we'll try to like find a spot where we'll like tuck behind it and then have the silent image walk back out from it.
Okay.
And like.
All right. So you kind of make your way down an alleyway and you tuck behind some barrels. And Pandy, you cast silent image. And because you only have a 15-foot cube to work with, you know, everyone's kind of standing close together.
Mm-hmm.
But you have this silent image of the whole group kind of march back down towards the street and then kind of take off in the opposite direction of the dock ward. And you, I guess, maybe sit there for a few minutes concentrating until you feel the energy of the spell dissipate. Since they were out of sight, you assume that that meant that they had just gone past your
range. Yeah.
Good idea. Take a long way home, though.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Well, we're going to that place in the dock ward, the key locksmith place, right?
Yeah, what was it called again?
The Splendid Order of Armorers, Locksmiths, and Finesmiths in the dock ward.
What time is it?
It's pretty early. It's like noon, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's early in the day? Okay.
Yeah, because everyone took a long rest, and then you got up in the morning, and everyone decided to go down and check out the mausoleum.
Okay.
Let's head that way.
I'm not as familiar with this part, so I'll follow you. It's part of the city.
Follow me.
This is Brick's territory.
Brick's hood.
Mm-hmm. All right. You walk for a while. It takes about 30 minutes to walk there. Until finally, Brick leads you down a road, and you see this ornate shingle hanging out in front of this two-story house/business. On the shingle, it says, Splendid Order of Armorers, Locksmiths, and Finesmiths. And you see that, you know, it has all of these smithing hammer and an anvil, and it has, you know, what looks like some jeweler's tools, and it's rather ornate. As soon as you go through the door, you encounter a desk, almost like a reception desk, if you will, of sorts. And sitting behind it, you see a young woman, appears to be a dwarf, and she looks up and she says, what can I do you for?
So I guess I pull it out of my pocket and I say, we're hoping we could find somebody who could help us identify this. And I kind of like flash my City Watch ribbon.
Oh, one second. She gets up from the desk and she walks back through a door and sounds like she's walking upstairs, footsteps, and then you hear someone walking above you. And you hear muffled voices. And and then you hear the footsteps again, and the door opens, and she comes down, and she says, one of our masters is quite busy, but if you'll give me the key, he said that he would be willing to give a quick look for a donation to the guild.
Well, I have a little bit of a concern just handing it over. It's evidence that we found at a crime scene, so you can understand my hesitation. Is it possible that I can accompany you? I am a city watch person. I promise I will stay out of everybody's way. I know I'm a little larger than some folks, but I feel like you're probably used to that around here with all these big strapping men.
Well, there's a lot of guild secrets that the master, I'm sure, would be concerned about you seeing. And, one sec. Gets up, goes to the door, footsteps. Goes upstairs, footsteps, and you hear voices again. Comes back downstairs and says, only the city watchman, though, please.
That's perfectly fine. Thank you very much for being accommodating.
Just follow me.
Of course, and I step lively.
She walks you back through the door, and there's a staircase, and leads up to a hallway, and she walks down the hallway to a door. She knocks on the door, and she opens it, and she says, Master, this is the city watchman with the key. And you see this incredibly rotund and hirsute dwarf. Just massive amount of hair.
Big old furball.
Very, very, very stocky. And he has balancing on his stomach some sort of device. And he's looking into some sort of eyepiece at the thing in the device. And he says, just one moment.
Of course.
And he sets it down on the desk and he says, all right, bring the key over.
I bring the key.
And he holds up an eyepiece to his eye. And he kind of looks at it.
Well.
If you're enjoying this Heroes Not Included episode, you can follow us on Twitter at @HNI_podcast for the latest news and show updates. Also, please consider becoming a patron. Our patrons not only help us keep the lights on, they also gain special behind-the-screen access, including patron-only podcast, videos, and more. To become a patron, visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/heroes not included.
I would say this is the work of Ulmar. She could never get her filings quite right.
Do you have any idea what it might possibly be to, or where I could find this Ulmar?
Oh, yeah. Laspra has a shop in the trade ward. As to what it's to, well, I couldn't tell you. Just a steel key. Looks like it could go to much anything.
That was my thought as well, but I figured, you know, a master's eye would know better than I, so... So down in the trade ward, I would be able to find this person?
Last I checked, that's where she had her shop.
Alright, well, thank you very much. You have been most informative. Have a good day, sir.
Yep.
She escorts you back downstairs, and she says, so about that donation?
Yeah, exactly. I hand over, I don't know, do I have an idea of what a reasonable donation would be here?
She sees you kind of opening up your coin purse, kind of looking. She says, it is not uncommon and rather typical for people to donate 10 gold pieces for services rendered.
Okay, I pass her 10 gold.
Oh my god.
That's fine by me.
Quite a donation.
While we're waiting, I'm going to be the whole time we're around, I'm looking for spies.
Give me a perception check to see if you can see anything through the window.
While we're waiting, I'm going to be casting Find Familiar as a ritual.
Okay. Your familiar shows up.
How many windows is there? Is there just
two
one?
Big bay windows.
I'd probably be looking at the other one.
Okay.
Just a 12.
14.
14. Neither of you see anything suspicious.
Okay. And as we're walking, I would like to do just periodic perception checks.
Okay.
To check things out.
All right. So, Ganesh...
So I get back to the group and I say, the Master Crafter told me that it was probably made by a woman named Ulmer, who has a shop down in the trade ward.
Perfect.
I think that's our next stop.
Sounds like a lead.
Mm-hmm. I think we should take the windy way there, though, just in case.
I agree.
Sounds good.
Let's go.
All right. You continue making your way through the city until finally you enter the trade ward. And as you all know, since you all are residents of Waterdeep, the trade ward is filled with merchants of all kinds and tradesmen of all kinds trying to sell their wares. So there's lots of activity going on here. And this, I mean, it's kind of like... It's as close as Waterdeep gets to a Grand Bazaar or to a mall or...
Cool.
Or Freddy's. You can find it in the trade ward.
Cool.
All right. As you make your way through the trade ward, you eventually see a small shop. The building itself... looks as though there's tenements above it. See kind of a crickety shingle, and on it it says Ulmar's Smithy and Lux.
Perfect.
I walk in.
I follow.
Okay. You walk in and a little bell goes off. And inside you see there are a couple shelves, a lot of scrap metal, piles of wood. On the shelves you see a lot of mundane things. You see forks and spoons, and you see little locks, and you see pots and pans, and you don't really see anything of significant value. And there is a fine layer of dust across everything, as though the person either A, is not someone who dusts, or B, it's been a while since a customer has stepped into the place.
Or both.
Coming from the back, you hear a telltale sign of hammer on anvil. Ting 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 ting. Ting 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 ting. Ting 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 ting.
Achoo! Sorry, it's really dusty.
So is there like a table, like a front desk kind of deal?
A place with a bell on it that we can ring for service?
No, like I said, there's just this in the front room and then there's a door that leads towards the back.
Okay, I walk towards the door. Mm-hmm. Is it closed? Is it open?
There's no door on the doorway.
Oh, okay. So I just I walk through while calling. Excuse me, Ulmar?
You see this dwarven woman kind of look up. She has her hair in ponytails and she's wearing these huge goggles. Looks up in your direction and she goes, whoa, you're ginormous! And then she lifts up the goggles and she's like, oh, that's so much better. Yes. Do you need a pot? A lock?
We need
forks? Spoons?
I was...
Hands?
I came here, actually,
bolts?
Hoping to...
Nuts? Screws? Nails? something?
Information. And I pull out the key.
That would be a key. But congratulations.
But I think you made it.
I made it.
I was told by one of the master crafters down at the guild hall that the filings were distinctive of you.
She kind of brushes off stuff from this heavy leather apron that she's wearing. And she kind of marches across to where you are. And you see that there's just piles of soot and coal dust and...
So not a cleaner.
Mm-hmm. Not a cleaner.
Got it.
Not a cleaner. And kind of gets up real close and takes the key out of your hand without even asking and kind of pulls the goggles down again and kind of holds it right up to the goggles. And she moves the key around in front of her. She goes, oh, oh, yeah, I made this key. You can see the telltale filings. It's a trademark.
That's what I was told, in fact. That's what led us here. I was wondering if you know what it's to.
Well, let's see. I made it for a client who bought one of my locks. I even installed the lock for him.
Give us all of that detail.
Yeah, I kind of flash my City Watch ribbon, and I say, this key was found at a crime scene.
That's just grisly.
Yeah, and I need to know everything that you can tell me about the lock that this goes to, where it might be, who owned it.
Well, I would like to tell you a lot of that, but I'm afraid that is all confidential, you see, of the trade. As a locksmith, I can't exactly be, you know, sharing information about who owns what lock and who has what key to what lock, because then no one would be safe. But I can tell you, and she waddles past you into the front room,
area.
The showroom.
As she walks toward in that direction, I just kind of pluck the key from her.
And she walks over and she kind of rummages around on one of the shelves and she finds a lock and she kind of blows some dust off it. She says, they bought one of these. She says, this is particularly fancy because if you notice, you turn the knob one way and it locks. If you stick a key in there and you turn the knob the other way, it unlocks. It's an invention.
Somehow I see that going places, really. That's
Gunesh is not sure how this is different from a regular lock.
Yeah.
So.
Most people would feel like the same way.
Okay.
As someone who's picked many locks, I'm impressed by this lock.
Omar, I know that you have confidentiality to worry about, but... And this is speaking also as a member of the Watchful Order of Magisters and Protectors. The crime that we're investigating is quite a serious one, and this key could really open up this investigation for us, if you know what I mean.
Inspiration.
She says, well, I understand, but I'm not going to lose my guild license over it, and if I start sharing that kind of information, my license is pulled in a heartbeat. So I'm glad you found the key. That's very nice. If you want, you can give it to me, and I can return it to the owner should the owner show up.
Ma'am, I don't think you're quite understanding what exactly is going on here. I am an officer of the watch, and I have found this key at a crime scene, and I believe it to be connected to a missing item, and I really need that information on who owns the lock that this goes to. As part of my investigation, can I please make a persuasion roll?
Yes.
Okay. Just a teensy beensy little hint, Omar. Just a little hint.
Brick, give me a perception check.
All right. Oh. 23.
23. Okay.
9.
Well, thankfully, it's easy to spot. In the corner, you see a very large iron safe sitting in just enough shade so as not to be readily visible. She looks at you and she says, well, one thing I know is that you can't trust all City Watch. 2, like I said, I could lose my license. That puts me out of business. No food, no home. And frankly, you're not worth it.
Well, it's a bit rude, isn't it? Come on.
I like her.
I like to believe that I am a fair person. Now, I may have, you know, sympathies, but a girl's got to make a living.
Fair enough.
I start scooting towards the little safe.
Okay.
Just inch by inch, just kind of scooting to the side.
Anyone else see Brick just kind of scooting?
I am distracted.
That was not a good part, a place to, like, wedge this in since we came in here, but I was going to say that I'd left Pip outside. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Sitting up atop the scouting. So I was holding onto Brick's arm, because that's normally what I do when I'm not able to, when I'm looking through Pip's eyes, but now that he's scurried off, I'm just kind of standing there with my eyes rolled back in my head, like in the middle of the shop, like a weirdo.
Worgen out.
Yeah, Worgen out.
Nice, nice.
So I don't notice anything.
I am thinking very hard about how to persuade this person. Is she still holding the lock that this type of key goes to?
Yeah.
Okay, I completely respect your position. However, we need information. So, what can you tell us about this kind of a lock? Where does it generally go to?
Ah, I put those locks in doors.
Doors.
She says with a very satisfied smile.
That does narrow it down a little bit.
Fascinating. Okay, a door. You said you installed this particular lock for this particular key?
I did. He was a fine gentleman. Obviously, he has a good sense of taste because, you know, he picked out one of these locks to protect his windmill. I'll tell you.
I see. Okay, so he was a very nice man. A very wealthy man?
Well, I don't know. I'm not one to judge.
Are these expensive locks, ma'am?
Well, they are, you know, some of my best. So I charge a gold piece for one.
Now, I'm an owner of an inn. I might be interested in ordering some of these locks from you. That's neither here nor there. I just wanted to throw it out there. Are these locks to keep people out of a place or to keep something in a place?
Well, I guess it depends on which way it's facing. Brick, you've now made your way over to this iron safe. You can see that it has a very simple combination lock on the front of it.
So I just kind of switch my hand back behind my lower back and just start twisting.
So give me 3 investigation checks in a row.
14, 6, and a 1.
You're finding it nearly impossible to have any idea what you are doing.
I'm probably showing like slight grimaces whenever it's like, ugh, didn't work.
Yeah.
I keep trying.
Can I do some sort of check for how many windmills are in Waterdeep?
Yeah. Yeah, give me a history check.
2.
There are windmills in Waterdeep.
Like how many?
Well, you know for a fact you've seen several.
Can I roll on that too?
Sure.
Because I heard it. Because I was there. 19.
19. You would know that
the
only windmills in Waterdeep are in the Southern Ward.
Okay.
Brick, you want to try again?
Yes, I do.
I'm going to warg back out.
12.
Yep. Still no go.
Okay.
Before we
it's really difficult to do because you can't see what you're doing.
Yeah.
This is just fascinating stuff. You know, I've always wanted to know more about locks, keys.
Give me a perception check there, Eddie.
That's just an 18.
An 18?
Yeah.
She says, oh, well, I'd be happy to tell you more about it. And you all of a sudden, a glint of silver catches your eye. And you see pinned to her brassiere, just under the apron, a little heart.
Yes!
So I am going to move my shirt over.
Your many, many layers of fur?
No fur, just cloth. And I'm going to say, boy, this is how I'm going to play it. I'm going to say, boy, the forge is sure warm in here. And I'm going to start, I'm going to say, do you mind? And I'm going to start taking off my layers. And as I'm doing it, kind of try showing my herp.
Well, she spots it, and you see her eyes get real big, which is even more disconcerting because she's still wearing the goggles.
Whoa!
Terrifying.
Yeah. And she looks at you, and her attempt to give a sly wink with the goggles on turns into something much more frightening with kind of a big blink. Bonk, bonk.
Love it.
And she taps her nose with her finger. While looking at you. Well, I am a lover of music, too.
I play much. At the inn I own, I play regularly. If you'd ever like to stop by.
I'm only interested in hearing the harp.
Ah, what a beautiful
instrument.
I'm
picking up any of this.
Give me an intelligence check. I'll let you take a history.
14.
Yeah, well, as soon as she said harp, and as soon as you saw Eddie kind of, like, shedding everything and then kind of doing one of these sorts of things...
Breast point.
you kind of went, oh. Okay.
Do a little thing with my lapel and say, I agree, it's a beautiful instrument.
She says...
I'm suddenly very interested in, like, dusty things on shelves.
She kind of looks over in your direction, which isn't subtle, because, again, these huge goggles, it's like, blink, blink. Blink, blink. She kind of looks back at Pandy and Eddie, and she says, in a very low voice, his name is Volkar Kibbens, and he lives in an old windmill in the South Ward. And she reaches into her leather apron, and she pulls out a small piece of paper, and she pulls out a pencil, and she scribbles, hands it closed to you, Eddie. I put the lock in the door to his apartment. The key should fit it.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Heroes Not Included. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to rate and review us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find all our episodes on Podbean and on our website at heroesnotincluded.com. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe today using your favorite podcast app. Also, you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/heroesnotincluded. And finally, our podcast is supported by Josh Heddle, Allison McManus, Shane Fetters, Jake McNinch, Amy Trout, and Matt Mitten, along with all our awesome patrons. To become a patron and gain access to our special patron-only podcast, visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/heroesnotincluded. Until next time, be the hero.